Hello and welcome to Fuel Your Feminine Fire. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm thrilled to have you here along with an amazing panel of experts who are teaming up with me to help you love yourself, love your life, and find real love. And I'm really excited about welcoming an amazing returning guest expert and my friend, that's the lovely Lisa Copeland. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle. It's so much fun to be back again. We've done this for so many years together.
We have. It feels like we're like old war buddies now. We've been in the trenches over there for a number of years, helping so many women find love. So it's lovely to have you back. Thank you.
Thank you.
So just a quick intro of Lisa before we jump into what I know is going to be a really great and relevant topic. And I know many of you are familiar with Lisa's work, but Lisa is a leading internationally recognized love coach and dating expert for women over 50. She's the Amazon best-selling author of The Winning Dating Formula for Women Over 50. She's been seen in Huffington Post and has appeared on ABC and Fox, and recently on the Dr. Phil show. Very cool.
Yeah.
She inspires and teaches women how to feel confident, empowered, and joyful dating after 50. So welcome once again, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle.
So we are going to talk about something that I think is so relevant and so important, because you know what? Dating wasn't necessarily all that easy before the pandemic hit and before it feels like the world went completely crazy. And and that didn't make things any easier, did it?
During the pandemic, though, I found that people were finding relationships a little bit easier, believe it or not, because they gave people a chance and they had to do what we're doing on a Zoom. You know, you had to be on Zoom or Skype or Google Duo, and it just, you stretched it out. It was like real courting in a way, and you had to feel safe before we knew anything. So a lot of my clients ended up finding amazing relationships during that time.
Yeah. And you know what? That's really true. And I found that to be the case too. And in fact, if there was one advantage of the pandemic, it created a little bit more of a slow dating atmosphere. And that was helpful in a lot of situations. But the overall world situation, being able to go out and do more normal things and more normal dates and being out in the world more where you can meet people, that certainly got a little more complicated. For many people. And a lot of people felt really lonely and isolated. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this particular event and give it a little bit different slant than some of my other events is because a lot of people that I've spoken with, Lisa, over the last year plus are feeling that isolation. And for some people, they don't quite know how to kind of restart or rejump their love life after 50 and after a pandemic. So that's going to be perfect for the topic, how to jumpstart your love life after 50 and after a pandemic. So let's jump in right there and tell us why you chose this topic and just kind of just lead us down the path of where you think a woman should start if after 2 years she's been locked down and is one of those women who may have felt isolated or lonely and didn't quite know how to navigate the dating scene.
I think it's learning to get back out into the world again. And you might want to start by just going with friends to a restaurant if you feel comfortable. And guys, go to restaurants. You could always sit at a bar with a friend and strike up conversations with people. Just one friend. No, more than one friend is intimidating to men. But that's a really good way to start getting out there. Online dating is a way to get out there. In fact, during the pandemic, that was really all you could do was online dating. And it's really getting yourself back, getting, you want to come into how amazing you are again, because we all sat around in sweatpants and comfies and weren't seeing people, and we sort of lost social skills. So I would say start where it's comfortable first and start with friends and start going out, and then start in with the dating process once you start feeling comfortable out being out there. And a lot of people have been out there now for a long time. It's for the people that are most isolated. If you've been out there a long time, then it's an easier thing. You can just get going on those dating sites or meeting people in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it's really helpful psychologically and emotionally for us just to have interactions with human beings, especially if we've been kind of locked down or isolated during this period of time. Just having positive interactions with friends or just with other people as you feel safe and as you feel comfortable getting out there, I think can make a big difference. And like you say, people are at all different places with this. Some people, like we talked about, figured out how to kind of navigate dating and make relationships work even during the pandemic. And other people felt like that was a time where they just kind of had to put everything on hold. And it's kind of like some people that I've spoken with are discovering the whole world is out there again. You know, it's like a whole new world again.
Very true. And I think one of the most important things is to get your mojo back again, to going and having fun, doing fun things. You know, it's a great time. Go out and buy yourself some outfits that make you feel good for dating. Go do something with your hair. Go do something with your makeup. Not for the vanity part. It's just to give to yourself. Because during COVID, we couldn't get out there and give to ourselves. You know, stores were closed for a while. You couldn't do just fun things to nurture yourself like you can now. And I think that's really important, is to get out there and do some fun things for you and relate it to dating. Like, you know, I remember when it comes to clothes, for example, since we've sat around probably from sweatpants from Amazon for the past 2 years.
Right.
You know, you go to a store and you get, or most clothes actually are online now. It's like the stores have the least amount, but start looking for things that make you feel good. I remember when I first started dating, I was in my 40s. I'd been in a 24-year marriage. And I was like a soccer mom. You know, I had black jeans, tops that were all the same. And I was wearing these Lands End Birkenstocks that I thought were so cool, but were really so not. But I was sitting on bleachers watching my kids play sports.
Right.
And then I had to go on a date. And it's kind of how it is now, too. Wow, you got to go on a date. You can't go on a date in those sweatpants. You know, so it's really important. And maybe people have gained weight, but you're still attractive, even if you've added weight, you know. But you want to, that especially is why you want to go out and get something that makes you feel good. So I remember my first date, I went into my closet and I'm seeing all these t-shirty things and these black or blue jeans that came from nice stores, but I still didn't have decent shoes to wear. And everything is on the floor and I feel so icky and nothing. And I'm calling my sister and I'm saying, oh my God, will this guy like me? I was so giving my power away, but you know, and it's because I didn't feel good. And so now's the time to get yourself back into that place of really feeling good and remembering how amazing you are. And part of that is treating yourself to some clothes, some makeup, some hair that's just going to make, not for the guy. You know, guys are not so makeup oriented. It's us that are, but it'll just make you feel good. And that, you know, that's a good way to treat yourself into some, for some things that will make you feel good. So that you feel good going out there.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think even in more normal times, we can kind of get stuck in a time warp with our looks. You know, we might still have the same hairstyle we had 20, 30 years ago. And during the pandemic, it was hard to even get a haircut, right? You know, I don't know if you... Exactly. I don't know if you ever saw, there was a Facebook page called like the hairstyles of COVID.
Yeah.
And it was like all people's crazy hair and, you know, beards and things that had grown out, nails and everything that's grown out because people weren't able to get that. But now we can. Now we can. And so in addition to kind of the outward stuff, our appearance, our clothing, things that make us feel good, which is truly a form of self-care and important to do for ourselves to make us feel good. What are some of the other things that you think a woman can do if she feels like maybe her confidence or her radiance has kind of taken a little bit of a beating during this time?
So I think it's important to get back in touch with what is really good about you. And when I work with clients, I have them do lists where they list out 15 things they love about their bodies. That is really hard for women to do because we look in the mirror and we see every wrinkle, every hair that's out of place. In fact, Michelle and I were laughing before this call because I said to her, my hair's splitting right here and I have to brush it. You know, as we become so self-conscious about these kinds of things. But the thing is men, when they're attracted to you, they like the whole you. They don't look at your parts and pieces like you do. So you want to come to a place of getting, of reminding yourself of 15 things you either love about yourself or great or are grateful for that you have. For example, our arms. You know, some women feel their arms are crepey. Women feel they've gotten a lot of stuff down here. And it's instead of thinking it in terms of that, think of the love those arms give to other people and the gratitude you have that you have arms that can hug the people and eventually the man that you will love. And that's, you know, so they start there. And it is hard. It's really hard because we've been so critical. The second list is get clear on 15 things you love about your personality because we forgot how, you know, what we got going. And then 15 things that you're good at or interested in. And when you criticize yourself, come back to these lists and tell yourself 3 good things about yourself. It's great to do in a mirror too.
Yeah. I love that and do some similar things with my clients because I do think we get kind of numb to seeing ourselves in that way. You know, we don't give ourselves enough credit. And in fact, we have the harsh critic voice going so often. The voice that sometimes says things to us that if we said to anyone else out there in the world, they'd never want to speak to us again, right?
You're right. And men are not critical like that. Well, yes. Okay, let me say there is a caveat to that. There are some men that are, but that's not who you want. You want someone who loves you just as you are. And that starts from within you. And lists will help you get that. And that little 3-to-1 game I mentioned about the 3 good things to the 1 negative, it's a way to retrain your brain to focus differently on yourself. And the benefit too, is when we are so critical of ourselves, we have a fear someone else will be critical, but we end up attracting men that are critical. Or we are uber critical of men. And then you miss great guys because nobody's perfect. You know, everybody has stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, while we're on this topic, you know, I interview a lot of men for the man panel events and things that I do. And Lisa, I can't tell you how many times I've had men say something similar to, don't point out your flaws to us. Because if we're asking you out and seeing you and taking you on a date, we're not paying attention or focused on your flaws. We're focused on what we like about you and your beauty. Otherwise, we wouldn't be continuing to ask you out and want to spend time with you. And I've even had some men say, once she started pointing out all of her flaws all the time, then I started seeing her a little differently. Then I started seeing her with a more critical eye. So for heaven's sakes, let's not be pointing out our flaws all of the time because we're not perfect. The men we're going to be with are not perfect. And we were talking also, Lisa, before this conversation, I believe part of what makes us relatable, even lovable, is when we're real, because that allows someone else to be real with us and to form an authentic kind of connection.
And men actually like your quirks, those little funny things that you do and have, you know, maybe your laugh or whatever it is. But what you're talking about, I call it slapping the crap. That's the nice way to put it against the wall to see what sticks. And on a first date, when someone doesn't know you, they're not going to tolerate stuff that they would tolerate once they get to know you and understand. We put our flaws out there to say, I dare you to like me. And that comes from your own, it comes from your insecurity that you feel about yourself. So instead, continually use that 3-to-1 game and really start to focus on the good things about you because that makes you light up. And that's what men love, is when you light up as a woman.
Yeah. So it feels like we're kind of talking about kind of the outside in approach, which is, you know, the appearance, the clothing, that kind of thing that can make you feel more confident. And then we're also talking about the inside out, reminding yourself of what you have to offer and who, what you bring to the table, and reminding yourself of qualities that you can love, appreciate, and respect about yourself, which is something, interestingly enough, that a man most longs for with a woman, is that love, appreciation, and respect. And it's hard for us to give it to someone else or to receive love from someone else if we can't offer that to ourselves.
Yeah, I do believe everything is an inside job, all of dating, all of anything we do, because what we focus on is what shows up in our lives. So if we're focusing on garbage, garbage is going to show up in our lives. Like an example of that too is if you have friends that are like Debbie Downers about dating, and they're sitting there and they're going, ugh, I had only the worst dates and there were no men out there and there's never anyone online and nobody's quality and all this. Well, that can just take you down. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to start on the inside with your mindset of, I'm not going to listen to that kind of thing, because that's not where my focus is going to be. My focus is going to be on, there are quality men out there. There are men who will love me just as I am. There, you know, those kinds of things, because those women or other people, they can scare you if you hang out with that a lot, and you will give up. And there's no reason to, because there are good men out there. And sometimes we just can't see them yet.
Yeah. In fact, it's interesting you say this, because I think this happens so commonly, especially for women that are dating and a little older and maybe have been through some disappointing relationships or dating experience, or even very painful relationships or breakups. And I was speaking with a woman not too long ago, and she said, she's like, I have to have you as a coach, because she said, I don't have any friends that are, haven't just given up and aren't cynical about this anymore. And she said, I still have that hope and a dream of meeting someone wonderful to share my life with, to date, to spend time with, to share my life with. But she was saying in her entire circle of friends, she didn't have anyone that she felt was like supportive of that dream.
Right. And I always tell clients when we start working together, I say, only share your dreams with those who will support you, because people will bring you down to their level. So that goes again back to that inside job of feeling worthy of having what you want. And yes, things are going to show up that are maybe bad dates and all that, but you refocus on what it is that you want, because that is how you're going to get it. And you have to be out there. You have to take action. You can't just focus on what you want. You have to take some kind of action to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what else I think? A couple of things that I think are really helpful too, Lisa, are, first of all, keeping a sense of humor. Because sometimes, don't you think, in retrospect, with a little time and a little hindsight, even those dates that are what we might call a disaster can be pretty hilarious if we have a bit of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And the second thing is to approach this whole dating, love, relationship thing with a little bit more lightness and a little bit more joy. Like asking yourself the question, how can I even make this more fun? You know, like when I'm working with clients and we're, you know, working on, you know, searching online or messaging online or whatever, I encourage them to have some fun with that, to have some fun with the messages, to have some lightness, to put a little humor in. Okay, maybe some guys don't respond to that, but if it's making it more fun for you, you're going to have more of a chance to kind of keep going than if it's just this duty of drudgery that you feel like you have to do. And don't you feel like so many people have so much heaviness around this whole area of life?
They do. And I'm also about the fun as well. I think that when you go out and you have fun, your whole demeanor is different versus, oh, I'm going on another date and I'm looking for the one. And he's none of them are the one. There's also choices. I think the beauty in over 50s dating is you have choices of how men can fit in your life. You do not have to marry again. You know, with when we were younger, that's what you did because you were looking for a baby daddy and for our age group, and you needed to be married to do it. And now you don't, but you did then. But at this time in your life, you can have a lover, you can have a boyfriend, you can have friends with benefits. I don't recommend it because you can, as women, we can get really hurt in that relationship because we bond having sex and that stays with us 2 to 3 weeks. And with men, it stays maybe 35 minutes. So you know, right. You're bonding away and he comes in one day and he says, I met the one, and it can be devastating. But the other relationships you can have is a long-term committed relationship, living together, living apart, and marriage. There's just choices. And that makes it fun too. And my clients say, oh, you know, that's a real relief to think I don't have to go out there and get married, because some of them don't want to. Some do, some don't. Mm-hmm. The cool thing is I think in all of dating is to really see the choices. Don't get yourself pigeonholed that it has to look a certain way because that weighs you down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's clear to think about what you want, what kind of relationship you would want, mm-hmm. and what would feel good to you, what would feel most satisfying for you. And you're right. You have choices. You have options about that, about what's going to work for you, what's going to feel good to you, what's going to be satisfying for you, what's going to match up, you know, with the lifestyle. That's another thing I think women have to look at when they're dating 50s, 60s, 70s is what kind of lifestyle do you want to live? Because if you have dramatically different lifestyles or your lives are based on entirely different values in terms of what you prioritize your life around, you know, that might dictate what kind of relationship is even possible. So I think that's another unique area that kind of goes along with the choices of what kind of relationship you want to have, is considering what kind of lifestyle you want to create for yourself and what you want to build your life around or spend your time around. If someone's really active and wants to have a really active lifestyle and you're meeting someone who's a homebody couch potato, you know, those are things to pay attention to at any age, but especially when you're like planning your whole future, potentially after retirement, all of those kinds of things. So such important things to think about in terms of what's going to make you happy and what's really going to work for you.
Right. And the really cool thing besides choice at this time in our lives is this can be fun. When you were younger, you definitely were, the hormones kicked in, the baby for, you know, the majority of women, not everybody, the baby ticking was going off. And today, we date like we did then for the hormones, but really you want to date for having fun, a great companion, someone that's got your back, and that you can live this next part of your life with that can be truly fun. And I think another thing sometimes that happens in over 50s dating is you do have like 2 and 3 year relationships, and then you need time by yourself and then you move on. Or you can have the full long-term I've had lots of clients get married. Lots of clients have long-term boyfriends. And it's also okay to have different relationships. You know, I think the biggest thing is you want to give yourself permission to be in whatever feels good to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. And I think at different stages of our lives, that looks differently for a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is such a great topic, Lisa. And I know you and I could chat about all these things for hours because we're both so passionate about helping women and helping women find love that is satisfying and joyful and fun for them. And I just think that's also another thing just to take forward post-pandemic, because it has been kind of a serious, heavy time in the world. And I think we can take on a lot of that energy, just like we can take on the energy of our friends who are saying negative things or or man bashing or whatever, I think we can take on the energy of the world. And that lightness and fun is also very attractive. Plus, it's just a more enjoyable way to go through life, right?
It is. And it should be fun. Dating should be fun. My clients will say to me, you know, this was such a drag before I knew what I was doing. And now it is fun. And I got to tell you, I've had clients in all three age groups you mentioned, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Some of those 70-year-olds, they are just having a blast. The 50 and 60-year-olds are too, but the 70-year-olds, I think they're so surprised they're having fun that they turned out to be fun and that men wanted them. And also in the 50s and 60s, women come and they say, is a guy going to want me at this age? And men say, you know, I've heard men say, yeah, I tried someone younger, but I didn't relate at all. There was no shared history. There was no nothing that could hold us together. And they will come back to women this close in age to them. And they find it's a lot more satisfying and fulfilling.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a concern. It's one I hear often too, Lisa. And I think even women in their 30s, you know, are facing that the men their age are going to want the women in their 20s. I mean, I think that starts pretty early on. And I also think, you know, we don't need to worry about those guys that are going to continually be chasing women that are significantly younger than them. That's not going to be your guy anyway. That's what I tell women. If he's really focused on that and that's his thing, you know, for whatever reason, that's not your guy anyway.
And that goes back to that inside job, you know, of there's no men out there. No one's going to want me at this age. All those limiting beliefs. There's going to be a little of everything. The only real control and power you have is of yourself. And that starts with loving yourself, loving men, and knowing how to date and to stay focused on what you want, not the garbage that may come up or the garbage you hear from other people, because it's only their beliefs. And it doesn't even mean it's true.
Right. And yet what we focus on tends to expand. So if we have that mindset that the men my age are only going to want the younger women, or that's likely going to be what we're going to experience, who we're going to attract. Yeah. So it's really powerful. I believe that when we are like speaking and thinking, we want to speak and think into what we do want and not what we don't want, because I believe that's actually part of the creative process. I mean, you think about anything that you do in your life and it's usually created in the mind and heart first, right? That's right. Where we create. And so we want to be aware of what we're putting out there and what we're creating. Because I think I think our minds are incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
More so than we even fully understand, even as advanced as we are, or as much self-development as we may have done, I still think we don't fully understand the power of our thoughts and our words and what we're creating out there.
Very true. And that's why I always say stay focused on what you want, because the universe doesn't know the difference when you focus on what you want and what you don't want. So you want to stay focused on what you want, because the universe will bring you both otherwise.
Right. Right. Watch out what you place the order for, right?
That's right. And it does take time. It's not, and it takes action too. Like you can put the thoughts out, the words out, the visualization out, but you do have to follow it up with action.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Lisa, this has been such a fun conversation. I always love talking with you. I always feel like I just resonate so much with you and really love your contribution to these events. So thank you for that.
Oh, it's fun being here.
Yeah. And I know you have a wonderful gift for our audience, and I want to give you a chance to share a little bit about that. 35 best first date questions and 9 exit strategies. I love that you have the exit strategies too.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, as women, we have this tendency to turn ourselves inside out to please a man, you know, and that is one of the reasons I came up with the exit strategies, because It happened when I went on a date with this guy, shows up and he's nothing like his pictures. He's probably about another extra 150, 200 pounds bigger than his pictures. And he walks in with this bag and he's talking about his CPAP machine. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. So I remember looking at my tea and I looked up at him and I said, you know, I have a meeting that I have to go to in about half an hour. And I'm so sorry. You know, I apologize. I'm so sorry, but I really do have to go in half an hour. And I was out, because otherwise we'll stay there for hours and we know we're never going to be with this person again. And although on the other hand, some dates should not last 2 hours either, that you are going to see again. There is a balance with that. But right. To get out of a date, these exit strategies will help you graciously get out. And the first date questions, you want to have questions besides resume building. What's your job? What's your kid? How many kids? How many grandkids? Where'd you go to college? Where'd you go to high school? I mean, that is just... that does not help you create a bond. What you want to do is have questions that help you share history in your life and make it so that, you know, it's really fun to do that. And a great question. This is where I learned this too. I remember having a date where this guy told me he was only 5 years older than me. And we talked about, I said to him, so where were you when John Kennedy was shot? And he said, well, I was working. And I'm thinking, I was at the brownie pool. I was in third grade when this happened. I was 9 years old. How would you have been working at 14? So the question actually revealed he was lying about his age. And I this is long before I was a coach, but these kinds of questions, it's not to test men. It's just, we shared history. He was still there. We did talk about, it was such a significant time back then in 1963. So I'm dating myself, but anyway, but I caught him in a lie because of that. But the first date questions will just help you share history, and it makes the date way more fun than just the resume questions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you so much for that, Lisa. It sounds like a great gift. And for everybody watching, be sure to click on the link below the video or audio that you're watching or listening from, so that you can get that and stay in touch with Lisa, because she has a lot of amazing things to share. And you can tell she has a lot of wisdom and experience, and you're going to want to stay in touch with her. So be sure to click on that link below and pick up Lisa's free gift. And Lisa, as always, it's such a delight and a joy to be with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
And for everybody watching, we really appreciate you being here too. We know you have a lot of options on where you spend your time. So it means a lot and says a lot about you, and that you want to have an extraordinary life and extraordinary love, that you're investing in yourself and your time by being here. And we hope you'll join us for more of Fuel Your Feminine Fire. Bye for now.